For Carlos Sanchez, a prisoner in Castro's vast incarceration system, the Word of God literally saved his life. A Bible stopped a bullet. In our lives, and in ways that are perhaps just as tangible, God's Word can do the very same thing. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth Richards. The story Lonnie's going to share in just a moment comes from a best-selling book entitled I Will Die Free by ex-prisoner Noble Alexander and Kay Ritzo. And we have a supply of this incredible book to send you today, so stay tuned for all the details. Right now, though, let's join Lonnie for part 5 in our Give Me the Bible radio series. His Friday message, Looking for the Missing Bullet.
One of the most thrilling, scary stories I've ever read is the incredible book I Will Die Free by Noble Alexander and Kay Ritzo. Noble spent 22 years in a Cuban prison for the crime of being a Christian minister. I happened to read that book while landing in Havana, Cuba. Not something I'd recommend you do. As we close our celebration of National Bible Week, though, friend, one chapter in that riveting story is especially meaningful. All during those 22 years of incarceration and persecution, you see, Noble was involved in holding together little groups of believers. That's right. These Cuban political prisoners would actually form churches. Even though the threat of torture and bayonet stabbings and executions was always there, he somehow managed to keep serving as the preacher. One young man in his little group was named Carlos Sanchez. And during a period of extended confinement at La Reforma work camp, the prisoners were assigned to work in citrus farms, harvesting the delicious fruit. Of course, not a single bite was ever to pass their lips. If the guard saw a prisoner stealing fruit belonging to the people, the whine of a sniper's bullet was instantly heard. Well, this Carlos very surreptitiously struck up a conversation with a couple of the local villagers as they worked side by side, picking the fruit, even though talking was forbidden too. And of course, this beat-up prisoner with the unstoppable religious fervor couldn't help but share that faith with his workmates. A few days later, one of the farm boys quietly slipped Carlos a brown paper bag. "Shh, a Bible," he whispered. "Hide it." Carlos quickly buried the little package at the edge of the citrus grove. Suspicious, some of the guards questioned Carlos and searched his cell but couldn't find anything. A week later, when he was assigned to the same citrus field, Carlos found the secret spot and dug up his precious Bible. Wrapping it up in some tattered plastic that used to be an empty fertilizer bag and covering it with his metal dinner tray, he tucked the contraband package inside his shirt. This is just what the already suspicious guards had been watching for. 2 seconds later, a shot rang out, and Carlos fell forward on his face, cutting his lip on a sharp stone. Several guards and the, quote, political instructor rushed forward, seized the fallen man, and pushed him into a truck. Noble Alexander, watching the entire saga, was heartbroken. Another Christian comrade had passed to his rest. But that night, when he returned to camp, there was Carlos, alive and well, with quite an amazing story to tell. At the military hospital, the guards had dragged their bleeding captive into the doctor's office and stripped off all of his clothes. The doctor noticed the slight cut on his lip and gave Carlos a cursory once-over glance. "Why do you bring this man here?" "We shot him in the chest," the political instructor snapped. "He was trying to escape." "That's ridiculous," the doctor replied. "All he has is a cut lip. There's no bullet. Take a look for yourself." The guard was livid with disbelief. "My man shot him right in the chest," he screamed as though he was about to miss a stuffed toy prize at a carnival contest. "How could he miss?" At that moment, they both looked down at the tattered package that had fallen to the floor when they stripped off Carlos's prison clothes. There was the plastic, and inside it, the old, worn-out Bible. Looking inside the Bible, they found it. A spent bullet. "Aha!" the political instructor crowed in triumph. "I told you we shot him in the chest." Carlos, who had been listening with great interest, finally spoke up. "May I see it?" Flustered, the instructor handed the Bible to him, and he looked through the pages which the bullet had damaged. Finally, he came to the last page where the bullet had finally stopped. There was a tiny dimple on Psalm 91, verse 7, which reads like this: 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Well, you would think that that could be the end of the story right there, but it really isn't. Can you imagine the impact this had back at the prison, especially with that little Christian church group? Men who'd never before been interested in spiritual things, inmates who'd been beaten down with discouragement. Sure, they would never get out of the Castro prison system, but suddenly they found new hope. Attendance at the ragtag church services exploded as new believers and curiosity seekers alike flooded in to see the miracle man and the miracle Bible with the bullet hole in it. Friend, I don't know how many physical bullets have been stopped by physical Bibles throughout the centuries. Noble Alexander's isn't the first such story that I've heard. But I can tell you this, more bullets have been stopped than we can ever imagine. There are bullets of hatred that have been stopped by a Bible verse quoted just in time. Bullets of gossip that have threatened to rip through a church or a home or a group of workers. But the Word of God stopped them. Bullets of discouragement that threatened to cut down a person during a time of personal despair, but then hit that shield of Scripture. Verses like 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Who quoted those very words? The Apostle Paul, the prisoner Paul, who was afflicted by a mysterious handicap that caused him tremendous discouragement. Talk about a speeding bullet ready to cut a man down. But then that promise from Christ came to the rescue. "My grace is enough for you, Paul," Jesus promised. "All my power is available during your moments of greatest weakness." Well, how about bullets of temptation? 3 times in a row, Lucifer loaded his .457 Magnum and aimed it right at Christ. "Do you feel lucky?" he sneered. He thought he had enough ammunition to cut the Savior down for sure. But 3 times in a row, Jesus pulled out the shield of God's Word. Even though it wasn't National Bible Week, he had the Bible in his heart, in his mind. 3 times in a row, Jesus was able to say to his enemy, "It is written." And those 3 powerful, bulletproof words deflected every shot. Friend, let me encourage you today as we close up this series celebrating National Bible Week. Pick up your Bible and take advantage of its amazing powers. The Bible can defend you, but only if you pick it up. Martin Luther once said, "The Bible is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Just let it loose. It will defend itself." That's well and good. But you know, it can't defend you unless it's in your hands and in your heart. Nobody ever quoted scripture verses that they hadn't read, friend. Even Jesus couldn't do that, and neither can you. The words in the Bible can only serve as your shield when you strap them on. We've been mentioning all this week the 8 million people who've returned to the Bible because of National Bible Week. So many people who had abandoned their Bibles are returning. And perhaps there are many other people who had a very shallow experience in the Word of God. You know, the proverbial reading of a single verse with their hand on the doorknob before heading out for a busy day in the rat race of life. Listen to me, friend. Wouldn't this be a wonderful moment right now as we face the Christmas season to actively seek a deep relationship with God through His Word? Today, Friday the 29th of November 1996, is a wonderful time, the perfect time, to choose that deeper experience. Let me share with you the personal testimony of George Gallup, Jr., chairman of the George Gallup International Institute and director of the Princeton Religion Research Center. Mr. Gallup is this year's chairperson for National Bible Week. Listen, "The primary source of spiritual nourishment in my life comes through reading and praying the Bible on a daily basis. I have found this to be true both when I am alone with the Scriptures and when I am in a small group with others who seek a closer walk with the Lord. Whether alone or whether with others, I hope you will make time in your life to receive the nourishment that only comes from reading the Bible daily." You know, friend, in a way, the study and the science of the Bible is my job, my profession. I'm a Bible teacher here on the radio. But right now, on this Friday during the Thanksgiving break, I too want to commit myself to more Bible study because of my own personal need. I need God's Word so much. I need more, much more. I want to feed on God's Word more. Feast on it more, starting immediately. This December and right into 1997, I want to do other things less and read God's Word more. Ken is right here beside me, nodding his head too. Together and with you, friend, we want the power, the bullet-stopping strength of God's Holy Word in our lives and in our witness.
We certainly do, Lonnie. Jackie and I join you in that Thanksgiving resolution. Friend, we'd like to send each of you a personal copy of this gripping book, I Will Die Free, by Noble Alexander and Kay Ritzo. Now, the story you just heard from Lonnie is just about 2 pages worth in this 189-page thriller that many, many people have eagerly devoured, including myself. For your gift of just $10 or more to help us cover the necessary costs, we like to mail you this book, I Will Die Free. Here's our address, Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Remember to ask for I Will Die Free and include a suggested donation of at least $10. Our Canadian address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055 and make your contribution using a Visa or MasterCard. Here's that number again, 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. Now here once again is Lonnie Malashenko.
Thanks so much, Kenneth. Friend, I want to add my vote to Ken's. This book, I Will Die Free, is one of the most exciting and inspiring accounts you'll ever read. 22 years in the Cuban political prisons, often tortured within an inch, a millimeter of his life. Noble and his fellow Christian inmates determined that they would beat Castro by living. We will die free, they kept reminding each other. This truly is an unforgettable book, so be sure to call and write for your copy. Beginning on Monday, we'll return to our series in 1 Corinthians as we move into chapter 11. There's more debate and controversy coming up with this title, Long Hair and Submission. I hope you'll join us. Our writer all this week has been David Smith with Armando Cordero right here as studio engineer. Till Monday, Lonnie Malashenko reminding your friend that it's always true. Yes, God loves you.
God is in the recycling business. He picks wasted men and women up out of the junk heap of human depravity and restores their honor and recycles them into display pieces in his museum. One of the worst junk heaps of human depravity in ancient times was the seaport of Corinth. Just about every kind of wickedness found in great cities today could be found in Corinth. But God raised up a Christian congregation in Corinth of recycled sinners. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul writes about some of those church members whose lives had been transformed by the gospel. Do you not know, he says, that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. No matter what lies in your past, God has a wonderful future planned for you. He will pick through the garbage of your life and find something he can transform into a masterpiece of his grace.